Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss the halacha of ksiva b'Shabbos. When you violate that malacha, begins the Gemara Tana. We learned in a brayso kos of ois achas. If somebody wrote one letter v'shlim l'sefer, but that completes the sefer, or a chut echad, or he sewed one stitch. And that completes whatever we're working with to be a garment, chayiv. Under those circumstances, one is considered chayiv for having done the malacha. Mantana, ask the Gemara, who is the Tana that holds this opinion? Amar Rabbi Rav Huna Rav Elezer hi. This reflects the opinion of Rav Elezer. Domar, as we're going to learn, Rav Elezer teaches us, achas al orig. If somebody just adds one stitch to a piece of frabig, chayiv, he's chayiv for a riga b'Shabbos. So here too, that's the malacha. The Meiri, however, points out that the malacha here is oirig and kosef, not makav patish. So the Meiri explains, this helps us understand the malacha makav patish. The Meiri explains the makav patish only exists when you have something which is already complete. You need not bring anything else towards what you're doing. And now you do something with your complete object, so that's called makav patish. But in a situation where you need to create something new, you need to write a new letter, you need to make a new stitch, that isn't considered makav patish. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tam Rabbanan. We could suggest that even the Rabbanan would agree to this. Lahashlim Shani. When we're completing a sefer, everybody will agree that even with one letter, it's considered the malacha of kosef. And as Rashi explains, we're referring here that somebody writes the last one letter of the 24 letters of the 24 sifrei Tanakh. And as the Miches Chinuch explains, when you write a regular book, there's no need to have a certain amount of letters and a certain amount of words. But we know that when we speak about Tanakh, every letter and every word certainly comes with very significant meaning. So therefore, says the Miches Chinuch, that the hashlama, completion, is only passable by one of the Sifrei Tanakh, and that's what happens even if you write one final letter. And as I sort of was trying to point out, it doesn't have to be the final letter. It could be any letter in the sefer. The point is that you're completing the writing of the sefer. I also saw from the Klaus Magarebes itself that this is why we pay such significant attention when we finish writing a sefer Torah. The last letter of a sefer Torah, which makes the sefer Torah into a complete sefer, is so significant, as we see in our Gemara, by using the word lahashlam, that whatever completes the sefer is significant. Amar of Ami, kosav ois achas b'tveria. If somebody wrote one letter in Tveria, and achas b'tzipayri, and another letter was written in tzipayri, chayiv. He's chayiv, ksivihi, because it's considered an act of ksiva, ela mechusa kreva. The only thing that still needs to be done is you need to bring these two letters close to each other, but there's no malacha involved in bringing these two halachas next to each other. And since there's no malacha involved in bringing the two letters together, it's considered an act of ksiva. Ask the Gemara Vatanan, have we not learned in our Mishnah Kosva Shnei Kaisle Bais, if somebody wrote two letters on two walls of the house, Vashnei Dabi Pichas, on two different pieces of paper in a book, and you can't read them together, potter, you're not chayif ksiva. So why over here, when you're writing these two letters, not next to each other, is it considered a maisa ksiva? Answers the Gemara, as we explained. Hasam mechusa maisa de kreva. You need to do something to make them be close to each other. And until you do that, it's not considered writing. So that's not, so since another act has to be done in between, it's not considered ksiva. Hacha, whereas the two letters, even though they were written in two different places, but there's no melacha involved in putting them next to each other, and therefore the halacha is it would be considered a ma'isek siva. Tana, higia ois achas chayiv. If you have a sefer where one letter needed to be repaired, and you repaired that letter, chayiv. Ask the Gemara, hashta, kosef ois achas potter. We've been learning that if you only write one letter, it's potter, potter avalosa, but it's not awesome the raisa. For the melachas kosef, so why higia ois achas, if you corrected one letter, are you chayiv? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshi, Sochem Maeskinen. We're referring to the brayse in a situation, kigon shenot lo legagel shel ches. The sefer was written by mistake. You wrote a ches instead of two zayins. So we learned in our previous year, by taking off that piece in between, you're making it into two letters. Osel shnei zayinim. And therefore, it's considered as if you wrote two letters. So the Rishonim discuss, why is this not considered Chag Toiches? The halacha is that whenever you write a Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, for it to be considered that you wrote them, you have to write them expressly, not just make the letters be formed. So why over here is it not considered that you just caused the letters to be written Chag Toiches? So based on this question, many Rishonim and Achronim, the Rashba discusses this, the Chasam Sofer discusses this, that what is considered writing in Hilchus Sefer Torah and what is considered writing for Hilchus Shabbos do not necessarily travel together. And therefore, although Chai Toiches, as we're explaining, would not be a kosher way of writing a Sefer Torah, it is considered writing as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned. Rav Amar, you took out the piece that's sticking out from the Dalet and you made it into a Resh. And again, isn't this only one letter? But as Rashi explains, we learned early in our Masechta, the Pasuk says, Al Tashkein Balecha Avlo, and the Gemara, the Pasuk in here, and we learned that you're not allowed to keep in your house a Sefer which is Pasul, one of the Sefer Kodesh that's Pasul. And by you doing this, correcting this one last letter, you're removing the problem of Al Tashkin Balach Avla. So even though it's only one letter, it's not even one letter, you're just correcting a letter, but what you're doing with this act is of significance. And as we keep on discussing, when we come to Hilchus Shabbos, Melechus Machsheves Asur Torah, anything that represents significance is Asur Shabbos. Tana teaches us the Braisa. Neskav Lichtav Ois Achas. You intended to write one letter. You wanted to write the letter Ches. And at the end, Val B'yodashtayim, you didn't make that connection between the two sides. And you wrote two Zions. So it turns out you wrote two letters and you Chayiv. So obviously, the Rishonim explain that, the Ramban explains this, the Meiri explains this, that this person had to write two letters. He didn't care which two letters he wrote. And therefore, at the end of the day, he wrote two letters. But if he intended to write only one letter, and because whatever happened, the story that we're learning, that the Ches turned into two Zions, he won't be Chayiv. Just like we learned earlier, that if somebody intended to throw an object two Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it ended up going four Amos, he's not Chayiv, because he never had intention that it should go four Amos. So to hear, if it was always his intention only to write one letter, he would not be Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Vatana Potter, didn't we learn in a Braisa, in the Mishnah, that he's Potter in such a case? Loikash answers the Gemara, Hadabai Ziyune, Hadalai Baziyune. If he meant to write two Zions, but he meant to write two Zions that should have the tagim on top of that. He was writing Sefer Torah or whatever that needs to have the tagim. And till the tagim are there, it's not considered that the letter is written. But if he didn't intend to write the tagim, so now he has two Zions. And if that was his intention, it's kosher. So the Rishonim point out, the Azarua says, it's not to be learned from this Gemara that a letter that requires tagim. If you don't put tagim on the letter is not considered proper. It could be that the letter is considered a kosher letter even without the tagim. The point of the Gemara is, if it was your intention that this letter should only be considered a letter if it has tagim on it, as long as it doesn't have the tagim, it's not considered that you wrote the letter as you wanted. We learned further in the Mishnah. Kosov ois achas notrikin. If you wrote one letter by abbreviation, Rabbi Shuvim b'seir mechayiv, v'chamim poitrim. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, m'mayin l'nosh notrikin min ha-Torah. How do we know that notrikin is a legitimate way of writing? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, regarding Avram Avinu, ke'av ha-man goyim nesaticha. So the Gemara explains, Av Hamoin is Rashi Tavis, it's an abbreviation. Avna Satichal Umois, Avram Avinu was considered the father of all nations. Bochana Satichal Umois, you're considered the chosen. Hamoin Chaviv Nesatichal Umois, I love you more than anyone else. Melch Nesatichal Umois, you're considered the king. Vosig Nesatichal Umois, you're considered the most humble and the person who loves to do the mitzvahs most, nemna satich lumais, and you're considered the most trustworthy. Or another pshat is that you're considered the individual with the greatest level of amuna. Rabbi Yochanan, the Deyama, Rabbi Yochanan gives a different example for Nutrikin. The Saras Adibris begins with Anoicha Hashem Elokecha. And as the Mashah explains, why did the Torah begin with the? Why did the Luchos begin with the word Anoichi, not with Ani? Nutrikin, the word Nutrikin, the word Anoichi is an abbreviation. Ano Nafshik Sivus Yehavis. I myself wrote and gave the Torah. So as I saw the Sefer Arugas Habaisim explains, if somebody wants to speak to somebody else, and they're not next to each other, they don't. The way they used to communicate was they used to send a letter from this individual to that individual. Now, or he sends a message with a shliach. When the messenger comes with whatever message he's carrying, he's not saying his own words. He's just saying the words of the person who sent him. However, if you send a letter, but there's somebody in between, it's the messenger's voice and it's the messenger's words. If you send a letter, then it's much more personal because it's the letter that was written personally by the person who sent you the letter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah through a letter, through the Lech Luchos. And what we should understand is that the Torah wasn't given to us through a messenger. The Torah was given to us directly by Hashem Yisbarach, from Hashem to us. Rabbanan Amar Amira Ne'ima Ksivi Yeheva. I gave you something pleasant. Vikadamri Anoichi L'mafreya. You read the word backwards. You have Ksiva. I gave you this Luchais. Namanim Devareha. Everything is trustworthy. And to understand that the power of Torah Shebeksav. The Bei Reb Nosson Amri. The Pasuk says when the Malach spoke to Bilam, why don't you come as you said you would? Kiyard had derech lenegdi. Yarasa, which means is that the donkey saw rasa, it got scared because it saw the malach, v'natsa, and that's why it went off the road. The Beir of Shmuel Tanam, very often the Torah speaks about Carmel. Carmel means moist grain. What does the word caramel stand for? Carmole, when the husk is moist and swollen and full of the grain inside. Ravacha by Yaakov Oimah, the Pasuk says that David HaMelech told Shloimah, before David HaMelech passed away, regarding Shimi ben Geri. When David was running away from Avshalom, Shimi ben Geri cursed him and threw stones at David HaMelech and the people that were traveling with David HaMelech. That point, David HaMelech told them to leave him alone, but But he said to Shlomo, now you should kill him. Because v'hu kilani kalolo nimretzis. What does nimretzis stand for? Noyefu, he's an immoral person. Noyefu, this is what he said about me, David HaMelech said. He said, I'm immoral. I said, he's a mayavi. He said, Ritzecho, I'm a murderer. Tzoru, who's an enemy. Toyevu, who is disgusting. Nachman Yitzchak Omer, the pasuk says that the Shvatim, after the cup of Yosef was found amongst their baggages, said to Yosef HaTzadik, Manaymar Manadaber Manitzadik. What does the word Nitzadik stand for? Nechoinim Anachnu, they were trying to defend themselves. They said, Nechoinim Anachnu, Tzadikim Anachnu, Tahirim Anachnu, Dakim Anachnu, Kedoshim Anachnu. Like that, please have Rachmanis on us. Teaches us the Mishnah. If somebody writes two letters and two acts of forgetting, he wrote one letter, then he realized he did the wrong thing, and then he wrote another letter. He wrote one in the morning, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Rabbi Gamliel Mechayev, Vechaman Paitrim. Interesting Shaila Halacha, when people used to write with carbon paper. If you wanted to write something and you wanted to have a copy of what you wrote, you put a piece of carbon paper between the two sheets. What is the halach? Is that so you wrote only one letter, but it turned out you have two letters. Is that considered as if you wrote two letters, or is that considered as you wrote one letter? A machloikas apoiskim I saw, the shayles tshuvas oz nidbru from Rabbi Yamin Zilber Zatzal Paskins, that it is considered as if you wrote two letters. Rav Nasha Klein Zatzal in his Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Mishnah Halachos says that it's pata avalosur, it's osma derabbanan, but it's not considered ksivim deraisa, it's not considered as if you wrote two letters. So the Mishnah had taught us a machloikus. If you wrote one letter and became aware. So as we've discussed many times in this Masechta, in order to be chayiv turkav mechatis, you have to have a yediyah benatayim. You have to become aware in between the two averas that you did in avera. So the question here is, this individual became aware of the writing of one letter. And the question is, the writing of one letter, as we just discussed, is not midaraisa kaisif. So now the question is that considered a yediyah? Mamaikimuski, Ragamliel Sover, and Yediyah L'chatzishir. Since he did not become aware of the entire, of a full-fledged Aveira, that Yediyah is not considered a halachic Yediyah. Rabbanan Sarvi Yesh Yediyah L'chatzishir. And as Tosfos explains, the Pasuk says, regarding the din of Yediyahs, Ahoyde Elov Chatosoy. You need to know that what you did was an Aveira. And writing only one letter is not an Aveira. Whereas the Chacham hold that chatzis shir osu min ha-toira, even doing a partial aveira is certainly considered doing an aveira, and therefore, even though you became only aware that you did a chatzis shir, one letter, it's considered a yediyah, and therefore it separates the two acts of ksiva that this individual did. Hadron lo chaboyna, hadron lo chaboyna, hadron lo chaboyna. Our Mishnah begins by discussing the halacha of ha-oirig, of weaving. It's interesting that the Tosfos Yontif points out that why does Ha'orig follow the melachas of Kaisif? If we continue learning the melacha, preparing writing parchment, Ha'orig doesn't fit in there. Why does our Mishnah mention Ha'orig after Kaisif? So he says, because since, as we've just been learning, the shear for Kaisif is two letters, and we're going to learn that the shear by weaving and sewing is also two stitches. So since they have the similar din, that's why the Tana put these two halachas next to each other. So when they did the Ariga in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously they did not have the sophisticated machinery that we have as Manazeh. But the main point that you want to accomplish when you do weaving is that you have the vertical and horizontal threads, and you need them to get woven together in a tight fashion. So what they used to do is they used to have a machine set up where they had these different threads, and that the machine would create that they should be woven one into the other, and then they should be tightened, that it should be a tight piece of material. So says the Mishnah, Rebbeleza Oimer, Ha'orig Shloi Shechutim Betchila. If you put three pieces of vertical and horizontal thread next to each other, Yechayiv. Then he says, V'achas al-orig, that's if you're starting to sew a piece of material, to weave a piece of material. Achas al-orig, if you already have a piece of material that you're trying to add to, there you only need to have one piece to be chayiv. The Chum disagree. And they say, Bein betchila, whether you're beginning the weaving process, Bein besoif, or you already have a piece of material, you're going shiroi, the shiroi is always shnei chutin. However, Tosis points out, the Ve'amaskal Oirig, that as we learned at the beginning of our shir today, that if you have a beged, you have a piece of material, and you're making the last piece, you're putting in the last stitch, so that falls into the concept that we began the shir with, of lahashlim, and when it's lahashlim, even one stitch, you'll be chayif. Says the Mishnah further, Ha'isa bote nirim. If somebody sets up this machine on which they do the weaving, they used to pass the threads through these loops. Benirim, Bekiris, or an Akiris is a different type of a machinery. Benafa Bekafra Basal, or somebody sets up a different type of sieves and filters, he's chayif. Vatoifish Tei Tfiris, if somebody sews two stitches, or somebody tears with the intention to sew two stitches, in all these cases, he's chayiv. Kireya, says the Sfas Emes, also has to be that you tore two stitches with the intention of sewing two stitches. Says the Gemara, Kiyas Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Tani, he learned shtayim. The Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that when you start sewing, weaving a piece of material, it's two weaves that you chayiv. Ask the Gemara, v'tanan shloisha. But haven't we explicitly learned in our Mishnah, the Rebbe Lezer says it's three? So how do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? Answers the Gemara, loyish loykasha. Ha balimi, there's a difference between thick threads habaktini, or thin threads. Amrilei lahaygisei, some explain this teretz in one fashion, v'amrilei lahaygisei, and some explain it in a different way. Amrilei lahaygisei, some explain it, alimi t'losu lo sasri. When you have three threads of thick thread, they will not unravel. Trei, but two threads of two stitches of thick thread will unravel. And since they will unravel, it's not considered a malacha on Shabbos, because the malacha on Shabbos always has to be that it should have a kiyum, as we discussed in previous shurim. Ketini, by thin thread, trei nami lo sasri, even two threads will not unravel. So your malacha is considered a full-fledged malacha, and therefore you are chayiv. Ramalei lahaygisa, ketina, two threads, Ktinei t'losu yediyah, by thin threads, only if you made three stitches is it noticeable, and therefore you're chayif. But trei, if you only made two stitches, given that the thread is thin, lo yedi, it's not noticeable, and you will not be chayif. However, alimi, when we're talking about thick threads that are much more noticeable, trei nam yediyah, even two are noticeable, and therefore you're chayif. Tanya, continues the Gemara, we learned in a braisa. Ha'orig shloish shechutim betchila. If somebody weaves three threads at the beginning, ve'echer ala orig, or he adds one to an existing piece of fabric, chayiv. V'cham ma'imrim, and the opinion of the Chum is, bein betchila bein besoif, whether it's existing or new, shurim shnechutim, it's always two threads. U'besofa, how if somebody is making a thread at the edge, and it was common that they used a different color of thread on the edge of the garment, shiurin, b'safa, the amount of shnei chutin, two threads, b'roich of shlosha batei nirim in the width of three of these batei nirim. Halamaza daima, loyuk tzitzel katan, how does the halacha view this? Like somebody who weaves a small belt, shenei chutim b'roich of shlosha batei nirim, that's the shear. V'ayu shlosha chutim b'tchila, v'echer al aruch chayif, with the first opinion stated here in the Braisa, was that if somebody's starting to make a piece of fabric, he needs three threads. And if it's ready existing, only one. Whose opinion is that? Stamik Rebbe Lezer. That reflects the opinion that we learned of Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah. Tanya Idach, but we learned in another Braisa. Ha'irik shnei chutim, alagas. If somebody weaves two additional threads onto a large piece of woven fabric, vala imra, or two threads on the border of a new piece of fabric, chayiv. Rebbe Leizheimer, afila echad. He's chayiv even with one piece. That's Rebbe Leizheimer's opinion that we've learned a number of times in today's shir. Besafa, and on the edge, to be chayiv, you have to sew shnei chutin b'roichav shloshe batanirim, chayiv. Halamaza daima, why is that the shir? Loyrik tzotzel cotton. When somebody makes a small belt, shnei chutim al roichav shloshe batanirim. Vayrik shnei chutim al agas. If somebody weaves two additional threads on a large piece of fabric, v'l'imra, on the border of a piece of fabric, chayiv. Whose opinion is that? When we learned that in the Braisa, that reflects the opinion of the Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon say you're always chayiv when you make two stitches. We learned further in the Mishnah, ha'yisi shnei bati nirim, bin nirim. What does that mean? And says, the Gemara Amar Abaye trei v'vati nira, we're in a system where the rope is wrapped around each thread two times for chadav nira, and then another time it's wrapped around another piece. That's to make some sort of a loop type of material. Bekiris, the Mishnah spoke about the kiris, my kiris amarav mitzvisa. It's a special type of machine that they used to use to weave curtains. We further learned in the Mishnah that toifish deit firis, somebody who sews two stitches. Ask the Gemara, Hatanina b'Avos Melachos. We've already learned, when we learned the Avos Melachos, that the shear is Hatayfish Tefiris. So what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? And of course, as we learned that halacha, we need to review that the Rambam taught us that if somebody only sews two stitches, he has to make a knot at the end of those two stitches in order to be chayiv. Where he sews three stitches, the Rambam said, he doesn't have to make a knot at the end to be chayiv because it'll be able to remain stable even without that knot. But ask the Gemara, our Mishnah said, Hatoifish Deit Firis, ask the Gemara, Hatanina Bavas Malachas. We already mentioned this when we learned the Avas Malachas back in Daf Ayin Gimel. We learned, Hatoifish Deit Firis. Answers the Gemara, there's indeed no chiddush with that halacha. But however, Shem de Kabbal Mishnah Sefer. We learned the next din of our Mishnah, that a krei amnas litvish de tfirois, that is a new halacha. That's why the Mishnah repeated, katari nami hatoifer, the kreya. But as the Gemara, kreya was also mentioned amongst the avos melachos. Hanami tanina b'avos melachos. Answers the Gemara, el mishum de kabbal Mishnah Sefer. Because we're going to learn in the next Mishnah how kreya, if somebody tears when he's angry, valmesoy, or for a nifter, which are new halachas, that's why Mishmachik Tari HaToyfish Tefiris, we learned the halach of HaToyfer, we learned the halach of Kareya, all to lead up to the halach about Kareya b'chamosoy valmesoy. V'Kareya menas litvish tefiris, hechem ishkachsloy, where do you find such a situation? Says the Gemara, the avdi kichisasa, You had a piece of material, and then it got lumpy. So the way they used to fix it is that they used to make a tear, and like that, sew it and make it smooth, and sew it back together that it should not look lumpy. So says the Mishnah, Hakureya b'chamosoy, if somebody tears something out of anger, v'mesoy, or because there's a nifter, v'kala makalkin, or anybody does something in a destructive manner, pturim. It's pata avalosar. However, a metalka, if somebody's doing something constructive, but the purpose is a constructive purpose, then the halacha is that the yichayev. And what is the shir? The shir is kemesakin, as if you were doing a constructive act. Shir ha-melabim v'menatzitz, the shir of somebody who whitens a piece of material or disentangles a piece of material, v'tzevei or dyes it, v'tova spins it, k'molei rochuv ha-sit ha-kofel. The amount of the sit is the amount between the index finger and the middle finger. Double that amount is the shir. There are Rishonim, I think it's the opinion of the Rambam, that says the sit is the amount between the thumb and the index finger. Vayruk shteichitin, somebody who weaves two threads, shuri kamal sit, there the shir is the just the amount of a sit. Of course, in all the cases that our Mishnah says that you potter, of course it's always potter avalosser, it's also medrabon. Verminu, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, how kureya b'chamosoi, if somebody tears something in anger, or be'evloi, because Rechman Tzlan, he's an oval, v'al meisoi chayiv, v'api sh'mechalos ha-Shabbos, even though by doing so, he was mechalos Shabbos, he did the melach of kriya, the melach is, yotzi de kriya, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of kriya. So the Yerushalmi asks a question. We know that there's a concept of mitzvah baba aveira, that if a mitzvah is done through an aveira, the examples are somebody steals one of the dalaminim and then wants to use that to fulfill the mitzvah of dalaminim and sukkahs, or somebody steals a matzah and he eats that matzah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah Pesach by night, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. The reason being, because it's considered a mitzvah baba aveira. So why ask the Yerushalmi, if somebody performs kriya on Shabbos, does our Gemara say he's fulfilling the mitzvah? It's a chil Shabbos. So Yerushalmi uses interesting words. The words of the Yerushalmi is, tamon gufa aveira, b'hocha b'ram hochuhu of aveira. So there's many Rishonim try to understand, Rishonim Achroyim try to understand the Yerushalmi. So the Tosfos Masech the Sukkah explains that when do we say the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira? When the aveira made you be able to do the mitzvah. Eating matzah that's stolen is a mitzvah ba'aveira. Because if the person would have not have stolen the matzah, he would not have been able to eat that matzah. Whereas if somebody does kriya on Shabbos, the mitzvah could have been just as well performed after Shabbos. So the fact that it was done on Shabbos doesn't make you, which is of course a chil Shabbos, doesn't mean that the mitzvah was done through the aveira. The Beis Yosef has a different interpretation. He says the mitzvah ba aveira means that an aveira item, a cheftz of the aveira, cannot be used for mitzvah. And he says any stolen item is considered a cheftz of the aveira. And since it's a chefs of aveira, it can't be used for a mitzvah. It can't be used for matzah. It can't be used for dalminim. A garment that was torn on Shabbos, you did an aveira. You were machal Shabbos. But that garment is not considered a chefs of aveira. The Sfas Emes gives a different explanation. If somebody does a mitzvah, and at the same moment he's doing a mitzvah, he's also doing aveira, the mitzvah is not considered a mitzvah. He says that the Yerushalmi means to say that the mitzvah of kriya doesn't happen at the same time that somebody tears the garment. Because he explains the mitzvah of kriya is not the actual tearing of the garment. The mitzvah of kriya is wearing a torn garment. So even if somebody tore the garment on Shabbos, which of course he shouldn't have done, it's not considered a mitzvah baba aveira, because the mitzvah is being done later when you're wearing the garment, not at the moment you tore it. And the Yerushalmi indeed says that if the first night of Pesach falls on Shabbos, and one is mechal Shabbos by carrying matzah from the Shusha Rabbim to his house to the Shusha Yochid, it's not considered a mitzvah of Aveira, which is very much in line with the different explanations that we gave. Furthermore, the Ramban says that even though we're learning in our Gemara that if somebody does Kriya on Shabbos, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya, if Rachman Slon, he's an Ovel. Says the Ramban, if somebody stole a garment and he did Kriya on that stolen garment, then it's not considered that he did the mitzvah of Kriya. Again, very much in line with the explanation that we gave. So again, here it says in the Braisa that if somebody did Kriya on Shabbos, he's chayiv for Kareya. Our Mishnah said that you're not. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hava meisa the day. Our Mishnah is referring to a person that is his relative. So since the person is his relative, he's obligated to do Kriya. And if you do Kriya that way, then you're considered that you were mechal Shabbos. If it's a person that you're not obligated to do Kriya on, therefore that Kriya, you're not chayiv for Chil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, V'amesektani. Look at the words of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Mesoi. Answers the Gemara, Lo'el Mes today. Our Mishnah is referring to someone who is your relative. However, Bahanach Talab V'elis Ninu. Even though he's your relative, he's not somebody, he's not such a close relative to it as a chayiv Kriya. V'chachamu. But ask the Gemara, if the person who the Kriya is being torn for was a Chacham, then the Halacha is Chiyuv v'Mechuyuv, you have to rip Kriya under all circumstances. The Tanya, because the Bryson indeed teaches us, Hacham Shemes, Hakol Kroivov. A Chacham that passes away, everybody is his relative. Ask the Gemara, Hakol Kroivov, Hakadatach, you are or you aren't a relative. Answers the Gemara, Elahemo, what the Braisa means to teach us, Hakel Kukroivov, everybody is treated like his relative. Hakel Kurovov, everybody has to do Kriya. Hakel Chotzimolov, in those days, part of what Ovel would do was that they used to walk with the garment around the shoulder revealed. Hakel Magmalov Rechava, they used to eat the first Suda Savra, after the Alavaya, in the public square. Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, our Mishnah is talking about the Lav Chacham Hu. And since he's not a Chacham, there is no Chiyuv Kriya. Says the Gemara further, Vi Adam Kashahu. However, if the person who passed away was an Adam Kasher, Chiyuv Mechayiv. One is Chayiv to do Kriya. The Tanya, the Braisa says, why do some of these children die when they're young? That a person should cry on when a Adam Kosher passes away. Says the Gemara, because the Adam Kosher will die, that's why they already take his children away when they're young. They take security because that's going to happen. Ella, says the Gemara Bnei Shloi Bocha, if a person doesn't cry v'sa'abel al Adam Kosher, if a person doesn't cry on Adam Kosher, that's what's going to happen, that he will lose his children. The Mashah explains that there's a mida k'neged mida here. The Bonim, your children when they're young, obviously are pure, without an Aveira. And if somebody cries for an Adam Kosher, so he doesn't have any Averis. So his children, who are also people don't have an Avera, will not die because of the father who might have done Averis. So I saw from the Avni Nezer, who is considered an Adam Kosher? The Gemara speaks about a person who's an Adam Kosher. Who is the Adam Kosher? So he says that we know when we speak about kashrus of an animal, what type of animal is considered a kosher animal? And what animal is considered an animal which is treif? So the halacha, the Gemara, Masech Techulin, discusses quite often, a treifa is an animal that cannot survive 12 months. What's the point of the 12 months that this animal can't survive? So Avi Nezer explains, because an animal that can live through 12 months, in the 12 months, you have all four seasons of the year. So how do we know that an animal is a healthy animal? If it can live through 12 months, it can live through the various different seasons of the year, it's a proof that it's a healthy animal. Who is an Adam Kosher? Says the Avni Nezer. A person who could remain, Adam, Oyver Hashem, a person who could remain a Yerushalayim in all types of situations that may face him, he is the individual who's called the Adam Kosher. Says the Gemara, Shekol HaBoich Al Adam Kosher, if somebody indeed mourns an Adam Kosher, he has mechilas avoinus, v'shvil kovet sh'asa. Because he gave the proper kovet for this Adam Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mechil his avoinus. So again, why should he not be chayiv for doing kriya and Shabbos if the person he did the kriya for was an Adam Kosher? Answers the Gemara, it must be, l'tzricha, our Mishnah is referring to a person, the lav Adam Kosher, that he's not an Adam Kosher, and therefore there's no chiyuv of kriya. V'idakai b'shas yitzis neshama, continues the Gemara, however, if you are there when this person passes away, chiyuv v'mechuyuv, then you're mechuyuv to do kriya, no matter who the person who passed away was. The Tanya of Shimon ben Elazar Omer, ha'imen al-mes b'shas yitzis neshama, if you're there when somebody passes away, chayiv l'kriya, you have to do kriya. Holomazah Doimer, what is that compared to? The Sefer Torah Shenisrafa, to a Sefer Torah that was burnt. The Sefer Torah has in it Torah u'mitzvahs. Every Jew is full of gashmius, full of ruchnius. Every Jew has a neshama, which the Pasuk says, Kishner Hashem nishmas Adam. So I saw that the Shem Tzion Balocha, based on this Gemara, says we know that the halacha is that if a Sefer Torah, Rachman Tzlan, is dropped, the people who were there when the Sefer Torah was dropped have to fast. What's the halacha if the Sefer Torah, Rachman Tzlan, that was dropped, was a apostle Sefer Torah? So he says, just like our Gemara says that every Jew is compared to Sefer Torah, there are all types of Jews. There are kosher Sefer Torahs, and there's Jews that don't fulfill all the mitzvahs. They're not like the perfect Sefer Torah. But you have to do kriya on every Jew that passes away. So too, every Sefer Torah, whether it's a kosher Sefer Torah or it's not a kosher Sefer Torah, you have to fast for. Answers the Gemara. So again, why is the person who did kriya in the Mishnah exempt from Chilul Shabbos, the Zechiv Kriya? Answers the Gemara. Our Mishnah is talking about Lotzricha de Loikoi B'Shas Yitzis Neshama. He wasn't there B'Shas Yitzis Neshama. So says the Gemara, after learning this piece of Gemara, Tenach Mesoi. We've been able to reconcile why sometimes you chayiv by kriya on a mace, and sometimes you're not chayiv for kriya on a mace on Shabbos. Ella, we still have a different stira. Chamoisai Achamoisai. If you tear out of anger, kasha. Our Mishnah said that if you tear out of anger, you're potter. And the Brisa says that you're chayiv. Answers the Gemara, chamoisai, chamoisai, namelai kasha. They also can be reconciled. Ha, the Brisa follows the opinion of Yehuda. Ha, Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. Ha, the Brisa that follows Rav Yehuda, Domer, that we've learned so many times. Melach shen etzrich legufa. Somebody that doesn't have any, the same purpose of creating something with a malacha is not considered a malacha. That is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And Yechayev, ha, Rav Shimon, da'am malach shen tzrich gufa patala. Ask the Gemara, even Rabbi Yehuda, who is machmer, and says Yechay by malach shen tzrich gufa, aim with the shamlei Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that? B'mekalkel, when somebody is doing an act, somebody's doing a constructive act, but mesakin, when somebody's doing a constructive act, but mekalkel, but if you're doing a destructive act, mishamadlei, in our Mishnah, it's a destructive act. You're ripping something out of anger. Amar of Ani, ha nami mesakinhu. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that tearing something when you're angry is a constructive act. Because the kavod nachas ruach liyatzrei, he's calling off his anger, calming himself down, and that's considered a constructive act. Ask the Gemara, ubekai gavna mishari. If that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah, that you're ripping it just to calm yourself down, is that mutter? Is that something that you're allowed to do? V'tanya, Rav Shimon Elozo, Oyim Mishim Chilfa Ba'agra. Sham Mishim Rav Yochi Ben-Nuri, Hamakar Ba'gada B'chamoysoi. If somebody rips his clothing out of anger, V'mishab Kael B'chamoysoi, or breaks things out of anger, V'avaz Moiz B'chamoysoi, he starts throwing out money out of anger, Yeh V'nech Koivet Avayda Zorah. Look at that person as if he is Avayda Zorah. And I saw a beautiful pshat. What's the connection between anger and Avodah Zarah? So I saw that just like Avodah Zarah is meaningless, you accomplish nothing with Avodah Zarah. The same thing, you accomplish nothing by getting angry. Shekachem Nasa Sheyetzahara. And that's the way the Yetzahara works. Hayom Eloi Sekach. Today he tells you do this, and tomorrow he tells you do something else. Atcha Oimelei Avodah Avodah Zarah, until he gets you to worship Avodah Zarah, v'ayelich v'ayved. V'amar Avav and Mikra, where do we see this in the Pasuk? Because the Pasuk says, lo yibacha el zar, lo yisishtach v'le el necher. Eze el zar sheyesh beguf shladim, which is the Avodah Zarah that's in everybody, hava'ayma zay yetzahara. And the yetzahara is getting us to be angry. So the question is, how could you do something? So the question, of course, everybody discusses, how come this is considered Oved Avodah Zarah? So the Sifsei Chaim explains that if somebody, the only way he can accomplish something is by doing something that has so little value, tearing clothing, that person is like an Avodah Zarah. Another pshat that I saw from the Ksav Sefer. He says, if we look into Teichacha and Parshas Ksisavoy, the pasuk says, "Tachas ashloivadat Hashem alakecha b'simcha toiv leiv meroiv kol." The whole teichacha came because we didn't serve Hashem b'simcha. So he says, of course, we're all supposed to serve Hashem with simcha, but why is the punishment for not serving Hashem b'simcha so very severe? So he says that because what happens is nobody begins the first day we're doing Avodah Zarah. What happens is the Yetzirah begins slowly. And that's what happens. First he tells you, don't serve Hashem b'simcha. But you start by that small Avera, and from there you go further. And I saw that the Sefer Shulchan Melachim explains a beautiful pshat. He says, we know that the first Avera that the Torah speaks about is the Isser of eating chametz. Why is the Isser of chametz the first Isser that's mentioned in the Torah? So he says, because what happens with chametz? It starts to rise slowly, slowly, until it becomes a full-fledged dough. Similarly, the Yetzirah, as our Gemara describes, starts slowly until he takes it over. So how can we say that the person was tearing something to calm himself down? Is that mutter? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha d'kavad l'mirma emsa en shebesi. What he's doing here is that he did this just to get people in his house to fear him. Kehada Rav Yehuda, sholot metziyaisa. Rav Yehuda would pull off the border of a garment to show that he was unhappy. Rav Achav Yaakov tov emani tefira. He would break broken utensils. Rav Sheshes Ramleil Amsim Mununei Reisha. He would throw fish brine at his maid. Rav Ava Tarva Nachtama, he would break the lid of a pitcher. And all these things were just done to calm themselves down. However, the Miri says, Af Shemutal Kroy Begodim, L'Shabak Kalim, K'dei L'Hatal Ayma Alanchi Beisoy. He even says, even though it's technically permitted to do so, and we just learned in the Gemara, Shahabi Mechacham HaYinagin came, there were many Chacham that did this. Roy L'chol Chacham, it's appropriate for every Chacham, Shlo Yagel Atzva B'kach. He shouldn't become accustomed to do this. Shem Yidu, Yilmadu Minem, Enan Shem Haganim. He knows how to do it the right way in the right place. Not everybody else knows how to do it in the right way in the right place. And therefore, avoid doing it because you don't know who will watch you and who will learn not to act appropriately.